Okay. All right. All right, Greg.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you so much in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for today. Well, God, we thank you that you are such a wonderful Heavenly Father, and that we have the great honor and privilege of being your children and part of just an awesome household. And we thank you, of course, for the accomplished works of our brother Jesus Christ and all that he's made available to us. And Father, we thank you so much for your word and the promises in your word, and that they are yea and amen. And Father, that we can always know in our hearts that your promises are true and they are specific for us, Father, the ones that, of course, we study in the epistles, and Father, the great wisdom that you've given us and all of the other parts of the word. And Father, that we just remember and we're reminded to keep those things in perspective as we do study your word diligently. Father, we thank you and lift to you today, Kathy and her mom, Julia, and for her complete healing in that powerful name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that she's such a tremendous blessing to her mom, and that, you know, we know that she's standing in the gap and she's doing it all that she can do as a wonderful believer, God, to just be there with her mom and believe with her mom and pray with her mom. But we also know that Julie is a great standing believer as well, God, and we thank you for just her mind and her heart, and that she's putting the word first and foremost in these situations. And Father, we're just so thankful that, you know, that perfected love casts out that fear. And God, we know that we all deal with it, but we just pray that she's just replacing all those fearful thoughts with multiples of the truth of the word, Father. We thank you for each person that's here today and for their life and for their love, and God, how they just gravitate to your word and love it so. And we thank you for those that couldn't attend today and for your hedge of protection around them, whatever they may be doing or if they're traveling. We thank you for just taking care of them, God, and how somehow, some way today they're getting the word and they're spending time with you. And Father, we just thank you for all that you do for us each and every day, for the little things, the big things, the things we see and the things that we don't see. We thank you for just being our God, and what a great Father you are to us. And we just thank you for the teaching today and for the words that will be shared and the inspiration from the others. And God, we just thank you for our lives with you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ.
Anybody else?
Father, thank you so much for your wonderful love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you so much for Mom and her recovery. Thank you for the improvement that's already happened, and thank you for even more improvement. Thank you that you restore her health, and Father, just take care of her and bless all of us with wonderful health. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And Father, we just give you all the situations in our family and loved ones' lives that require your power and your hand working. Thank you, God, for Tim's niece and working mightily there and opening doors for him to speak and encourage her and build her faith and help her through that situation that she's going through. Thank you for my brother and his wife and getting them through this COVID mess. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we command and claim that virus to be gone from them, from their physical bodies. Thank you, Father, for all the people that we know and love that are challenged with whatever challenge they have, Father, as they look to you, as they put their complete trust in you, that you provide their every need, that according to your riches and glory, they are provided. So, Father, thank you for that great promise. Thank you for the great reality and awareness that we have in our hearts and lives, that you are ever present with us, that your power is mighty, that your power overcomes everything, and that every challenge that we face, we can overcome. Every mountain we can scale, we can leap over every wall. Thank you, Father, that we run through all those demons and cause them to flee from us. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the power and authority that you've given to each one of us as your sons and daughters. Thank you that it is our confidence in you, our faith, our believing in the words that we speak that bring them to pass. And it's that simple. Thank you for continuing to remind us how simple it is to be victorious in every situation and to overcome, to be those super conquerors that you have made us in Christ. Thank you, Father, for all this that we have, all that we can look forward to, all the joy that we can have in our hearts, anticipating all that you will do and have done for each of us. Thank you, Father, for these things that we all have by your grace and your grace alone. And we thank you for these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So,
amen.
Good.
What is that?
Hey, Kath.
What is that?
Glad you joined us, Kathy.
Yeah. Glad to be a part of it.
Good. All right. Well, so, Kath, I don't know that everyone knows that you, how your mom's doing. So you want to give us an update of what's been happening?
Yeah, I'm on my way to the hospital. The bottom line was her ammonia and her liver was elevated extremely high. I guess it's supposed to be around 40, and it was up over 100. And they pinpointed the problem and gave her medicine to rid her body of the ammonia. And so yesterday, after less than like 12 hours, it was down in the range of 80. And so when I go back today, I'm expecting it to be closer to what normal is, which would be 40. So we shall see. Once I get there, and then they'll go about figuring out why her body is producing so much ammonia. But at least they pinpointed it, and there's a lot of progress happening.
Good, good. Well, we'll just continue to believe with you and speak in tongues for your mom, and expect for all those things to proceed at a mind-blowing rate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. So,
yeah, I'm reminded of the many times your mom has been healed miraculously.
Exactly. And, you know, it was very similar to what happened before. And, you know, the devil always tries to get in there and complicate things, or, you know, get a misdiagnosis of something that's going on, and that didn't happen. I mean, it took them a while to figure it out. They had four possible scenarios, all of which were worse. They said it could be a mini stroke, it could be a seizure, it could be a clogged artery, or they it could be the ammonia levels. And so, obviously, it wasn't any of the other three. So that's very good news, and that the ammonia level came down over 40 points yesterday was really significant. So she's believing.
That's great. Well, awesome.
How old is your mom now, Kathy?
Her birthday's on the 12th of this month. And I believe she'll be 87.
All right. Great.
You know, she's always been very secretive about her age.
Yes, I know. But now she's just got to be really proud of how, you know, God's taken care of her all these years, right?
That's exactly right.
And not that she looks 87.
Exactly.
And that's what we'll remind her of.
I wonder who else is secretive about their age.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, they say.
Right. All right. Well, good. Well, we'll just continue to expect the very best. So, what else is going on? Be careful driving, by the way, Kat.
Well, I've got nothing today. I'm just all calm, cool, and fellowshipping. That's all I've got.
Well, all right.
Hi, Cheryl.
Glad to see your cool, calm face.
Hi, Patty. Thank you.
Greg, is Natalie with you?
She is right here.
Hi.
Hey, Natalie.
Hello.
So, hey, while we're here, well, I guess I can ask you later. Oops.
So, what else is going on? What's on your heart today? What's on your mind, Andrew?
Oh, well, just really, really blessed, and I guess, I don't know. I think it's always funny when, plan on being there probably, or no, not probably, on Thursday. It's weird when you're starting to plan to go someplace and you have all these different excuses, all these little darts. I don't care how many places you go or getting ready to go places, how many darts, the small ones just are thrown at you just to kind of distract you from what you're trying to do. I don't know. I'm just kind of going through that and, rebuking the adversary when I need to and just going through the emotions of getting ready to get on the plane and come down there. And I don't know, just looking forward to a good time. Yeah. Fellowship with you guys, and it's going to be great. But, yeah, that's pretty much what's been on my mind. Been really just stoked about that. So, yeah.
Hey, yeah, we're excited to have you come and visit. It's going to be wonderful. And so remember, everybody, you come on over for fellowship. Come on over to the house because Andrew and his sister will be here. So we're going to have a big old party.
Yes, sir.
So
trying just to think about anything that's really happened this week that's kind of – It's something because, you get used to walking with God so much that it just happens naturally. And it's one of those things that it's like when stuff happens, I usually just pray and then, okay, deal with it. And then, I got something. Sorry about that. There's this, we added another member to our area. It's me, then it's Jake, and then it's Skyler. So, he's been there for a couple weeks. So, and I've been trying to help the new guy and everything and help him get, up to what we do and everything. So, like, every time I would go to help him, he'd just go and ask five other people for their advice. So I was like, what's going on with this? What's going on with this? So anyways, he, after a while, started complaining about me and Jake not helping him as much. So that got back to my boss, and my boss told told us that, we need to start helping Skyler more. So I was like, well, this is kind of messed up. So anyways, and then other couple days he was kind of negative. So I came home, talked to my mom. I said, mom, I was like, this new guy is really kind of starting to infringe on our area and infringe on our peace. So we need to do that old thing where we pray for him to change his heart or he leaves. In the name of Jesus Christ. So anyways, we got together. We prayed. Next day, he got called into the office, and then he was packing up all his stuff, moving to a different area of the shop. So, and then my buddy was, talking to me. He's like, oh, my God, are we in trouble or this and that? And, was he talking more crap on us? I was like, no. I said, God took care of it. We're all good. So, yeah, and we're right back to normal now. So I was like, okay, so next thing, anybody that sits in that seat needs to be okay with us and our area and not cause any trouble in the name of Jesus Christ.
What?
So, yeah. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I got for this week. And just happy and joyful and just, you know, living every day in his loving care.
Right.
Yep. And I love you guys, and everything's great. Everything's going good.
All right. Awesome. That's great, Andrew. Yeah. God takes care of every detail.
Every single one.
No problem for him in anything. So that's wonderful. Great. Hey, Greg, what's going on with you?
Not much, really. Just, did you hear I got married? Got a new wife.
Really?
Yeah. Same one from last October. So.
Ah, good, good.
Yeah. I'm batting 1,000 right now.
Awesome.
I mean, nothing spectacular. I mean, you know, we've had some, you know, I was, thankful, and I mean, this might sound strange, but you know, thankful for the opportunity to believe God with Kathy about her mom, you know, and get very specific on what the issues are. And just see how God's hand is in that, you know, I mean, just as simple as the inspired prayer. you know, so that's always awesome to just see how God makes it very plain sometimes. You know, cause so much of it can still be a mystery. You know, when he gives us nuggets of stuff and not the whole story. And I'm one of those people that's like, no, I want to know now. I want it all now. I want my Oompa Loompa now. so, you know, I fully expect, you know, Julia, mom, as I call her, to be completely healed, of this. But, you know, knowing Kathy and her mom, you know, they want specifics. Okay. What is it? So we can target and know exactly what we got to pray for and cast it out, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. And so it was just really cool to, you know, again, have God inspire to pray that it's revealed exactly what the issue is. Right. So that was really wonderful to see that unfold. excuse me. You know, from the Word's perspective, you know, it's been on my heart a lot lately. You know, with all of the continued escalating craziness in the world, and the behavior patterns of people, you know, anymore, you know, seems to just be on a freight train, you know, the wrong direction. And the temptation that we have, you know, that the adversary, directs at us for us to, you know, forget, about, you know, giving of ourselves and being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ and be takers. You know, I'll get my own. I'll protect my own. I'm concerned for myself. You know, I'll take no thought for others. You know, and I see that more and more, from people. And it's the little things that add up to the big things, you know, just as simple as walking into the grocery store the other day. And I see people and how they steward their own lives. You know, they'll take something from the refrigerator goods section, stick it in the canned section and just walk away and not even, you know, give it a second thought. You know, not realizing the impact that has, you know, on other people. And it's everywhere. It's abundant. You know, and the attack is very real. It's out there. You know, and it's, you know, we always have to renew our minds to the Word. We know that, But it's just interesting to see where God will place, you know, where he'll share, you know, himself with you and make you aware of really what's going on. And I'm so thankful for that because I know, you know, it's never more evident to me in my life how blinded unbelievers are, you know, how the adversary just really pulled the wool over people's eyes. And they question, they worry, they have doubts, they have tons of fear. And it's, you know, it's very comforting to know that, you know, in most of the categories, especially the major categories of life, I don't have those because the word's very clear. You know, time spent in the word has made it very clear, right? So, you know, I'd rather spend my time unfolding, you know, the greatness of God's word rather than spend time trying to unfold the darkness of the world, which, you know, it's just everyone's so caught up in it. And for obvious reasons, right? I mean, we've got medical concerns. We've got economic concerns. We've got geopolitical concerns. We've got, you know, are you a male or female concerns? I mean, it's just the craziness just goes on and on and on. And it just makes me more thankful how rooted and grounded we are in the word, and thankful for God's grace and mercy. And, you know, and I mean, I get beside myself just like anybody else. Natalie's always telling me, quit throwing your arms up at drivers that, you know, cut you off and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, they're going to pull out a gun and shoot you sometime. And I'll look at her and I'll go, they're driving a Prius. They are not going to turn around and shoot me, right? Okay, so if I'm going to die, it's not going to be from somebody driving a Prius. Let's just make that perfectly clear now. But, you know, I catch myself, I mean, or Natalie catches me, you know, just letting the world, you know, get to me and the rudeness and the me, the self promotion and self, you know, self-deitizing is really what it's boiling down to. You know, I am my own God. And we are right back to, to, you know, the description of the adversary, right? I, me. And it just seems to be propelling at an absolutely incredible pace. So, you know, I'm just thankful for who I am in Christ, thankful for the body of believers, thankful for his word, thankful that we have grace and mercy, you know, and of a sound mind. So that's kind of what's been dwelling in my heart lately.
Great, Greg. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, the world is definitely a crazy place, but heaven is a much nicer place to dwell, and we're all seated there. So got to keep our minds in the right place, you know, focused on the right things, which is, you know, the challenge that we all face, right? We go out in the world and it's the world. And then we come together like this and we can take a breath and we can realize who we really are. And in God's sight and in each other's sight, that we are truly members of this great body of Christ. And that's the reality of our lives. And we're all seated together in the heavenlies. So we join and rejoice in that. You know, we certainly don't join and rejoice in how crazy the world is. So
I got something.
I know you do. All right, honey.
Okay, honey.
Go ahead.
Well, all right. You can follow along or not. I'm in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, at kind of the wrap up there of, you know, after, you know, we've been told that God's going to get us out of here. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. You know, we're going to get, you know, snatched. We're going to get harpazo out of here. We're going to get quickly taken up before it gets so crazy. That's part of that word, caught up. And, well, I'll read the verse. It's in chapter 4, verse 17. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, you know, the dead in Christ who have just risen, and in the clouds, and meet them, the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, all this is going to happen in the twinkling of a moment. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 15, it's all about this instantaneous atomic, because it says the twinkling of an eye, really it comes from the Greek word atom, where we get the word atom, which means that it's going to have, it's like, boom, we're out of here so quickly. I didn't say that very fancy or anything, but in my own heart and understanding, I know it's going to happen so quickly and that we will be snatched out of here and literally delivered from this present evil world at a time when it's so bad that, you know, the onset of the adversary is going to happen like it talks about in 2 Thessalonians, where, you know, the Antichrist can then emerge and start to deceive the whole world and bring everybody together in one world government and one world religion and one world peace and safety. So then, you know, that, but we're out of here. So the wrap up here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I don't want to go through all the things about the great stuff here in 1 Thessalonians, although I would like to. He says in verse 16, Paul, rejoice evermore. So in order to rejoice, we first have to have joy. You know, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we need strength right now. So not only strength, but to re-strength, to rejoy, to rejoice evermore, to always be thankful and rejoicing. And verse 17, to pray without ceasing. And it is very literal. Pray as often without ceasing as you can remember. You know, you speak in tongues, you pray perfectly. Verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And verse 19 says, quench not the spirit. And I really wanted to look at that word quench, or what this really means. Don't put out the spirit's fire, in essence, is what it's saying. To quench is to suppress divine influence or to extinguish it. You know, you do that by just not continuing to rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing. And before you know it, you're caught up in the adversary's thing, whether he's lulled us to sleep or whether he's caused us to fear by all the panic and craziness around us. So we don't want to extinguish or to suppress that incredible divine influence that is available to us via the spirit within us. We always have to keep this thing ignited and activated by that relationship that we have with God, that constant dialoguing with him and talking to him about everything. It says in verse 20 to despise not prophesying. The word despise means to belittle or to just to esteem it lightly, like, oh, it's, you know, whatever, I've heard that before, or I know that, or, you know, in prophecy, there are prophecies all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, and prophecies in real time in our administration that we need to take very seriously, spoken on the lips of believing believers, of course, and to not to belittle or to esteem it lightly, because that has to be the loudest voice in our head right now. Does that make sense? Not the roar of the adversary out there, not the, you know, all the alternative things we can take for COVID or whatever. You know, the whole COVID thing has kicked up its heels again, but praise God, it gives us an opportunity to speak the truth to people and to really not quench the spirit, but to just keep that alive in our lives, right? To not be afraid, to not listen to the roar of the enemy, but, you know, not to put out the spirit's fire, and to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. You know, to prove it simply means that we test it out, we apply it, and we get the results according to the word of God. This rejoicing, this thanksgiving, this this activating the spirit within us. We can't go to sleep. We cannot dull out during this time. We have to be so very attuned to our God in Christ in us, and that we are seated. That is our heavenly home. We're seated in the heavenlies. But before we get zapped out of here, you know, we look for opportunity to bless and to give and to serve and to honor God in whatever we can by walking in love, by walking in that light, by walking circumspectly, as it says in Ephesians 5, as imitators of God, that that wisdom that he'll give us if we just don't bow, we don't burn, we don't fold. You know, we don't give up. We keep the fire burning is what I'm trying to communicate here. Does that make sense? And verse 23 says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, or make you completely whole and perfect in every way. And then I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we already are blameless, but we're not without fault. But we do our very best to walk by the Spirit, and we get rewards for what we do walking in the love of God. So that was really what was on my heart. I mean, trusting in the Lord with all our heart. We don't lean to our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. What's the rest of it?
Lean not unto thine own understanding.
Yeah.
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Acknowledge him, and he will direct the path.
That's right. And he does direct our paths, but we got to be listening. It's that little simple thing. You know, you got to have the switch turned on so the battery in the car and everything can connect, right? So we just got to stay spiritually hot. We have to stay in the word, not in the news. I mean, yeah, you can assess what's going on out there. I think we kind of have to, because the adversary, you know, will deceive us. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices, you know, and but whatever they are and whatever we're experiencing that is a result of that, we cast it down. We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, what God has already given us. So we don't be afraid. We trust, you know, the difference between fear and trust. And, you know, I just think it's really wonderful to fellowship with all of you, because I know we're all very like-minded about these things, and we need to continually encourage one another to not quench the spirit or put out the spirit's fire, to keep ourselves activated and aware and listening and looking and seeking. And, you know, as we seek, God opens doors for us. He gives us opportunity to minister to people. So I love you guys. Can't wait to see you there, Andrew and Nina.
All right. Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, that whole thing about pray without ceasing, it brought to my mind that thing that George Mueller said in one of his books. There was a great quote. He said, the one great fault of the child of God is that he does not persist in prayer until the answer comes. Mm. You know, George Mueller was a great believer in God supplying your every need and God doing things that the church by and large had just given up on. And, you know, you talk to people out there in the world and you encourage them. You know, I mean, out in the world, you know, when you're out there and you're speaking to people and have an open door to share the truth with people and share the goodness of God with people, you know, the gospel, the good news, you know, the things that are good about what God has provided for us, which it's all good. You know, it's just man that decides to make bad things attributed to God instead of, you know, really the things that God does, which is deliver and save and you know, bring good things, you know, to those that love him. So, you know, you see people giving up on God because they have no real faith in his ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, when we pray for something, we continue in that prayer until we receive the answer. We continue. We don't stop. We just continue to thank God. Well, God, you know what I asked you. You haven't forgotten. Neither have I. I thank you for bringing it to me. I thank you that it's already provided. You've already done it. So I'm just waiting for the package to come in the mail. See? You know, it's like whenever we pray, it's like we've gone, you know, to God's Amazon. It's like, what do you need? Okay, well, I've got Amazon Prime, so I get free delivery. So this is what I'm ordering. And that's our prayer to God. And so once we're done with that order, we know it's coming. But we just don't perhaps know when. But we know it's coming. It's on the way. And we continue instant in prayer. We continually pray with thanksgiving. We've already made our request known, so we continue to expect God to provide it. He's already worked out all the details. It's coming because it's already done. See, we believe when we ask, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. We have it. Right? Whatsoever things you pray for, when you pray, believe that you have received them. That's what our Lord and Savior said. That's how he taught us to pray. That's the mentality. See? The world says, well, you know, if you prayed and you didn't get the answer, then just give up on prayer because it doesn't work. That's the adversary. You know, throwing those little darts, right? Oh, you've prayed before. Yeah, well, it didn't work. Well, I prayed for this. I never got that. I prayed for this. I never got that. Why didn't you get it? Why? Why doesn't anyone get the things that they request? Sometimes it's not just flat out not available. You know, sometimes it's me, oh Lord. It's my faith where I've dropped the ball somewhere. Now that doesn't put it's not that cut and dry. Don't misunderstand me. Every time you pray, if you don't receive, then it's either not available or that you're just lacking somewhere. And the only place you can ever lack as a child of God is in that faith, confidence in God to bring it to you. God's bringing it to you. You just have confidence in that. And you know, the world wants to mix things up and God wants to keep things simple for us, for his kids. It's a simple walk with him. You know, it's not about having to abide by, you know, a bullet list of laws. We don't have that. We have the grace that we stand in. We have God's favor always because we did one thing. We believed on his son, Jesus Christ. That faith that we have in Jesus Christ is what provides everything for us. And it enables God to do whatever we need him to do for us. It's that one thing. You know, Galatians is a great epistle because Galatians brings people back to the reality that, no, it's not about the law. It's about what goes on in your heart. When you pray, believe that you have received it, and you'll have it. God will move heaven and earth to provide for you that thing which you need. He will. He has to. And I say that because I know what the truth is. Not because I know what my experience is. Because there are times when Patty and I have prayed for things and they have happened because we both agree. They have happened consistently like clockwork. There's other times when we've prayed for things and it just seems like we're up against a brick wall. So what do we do? but just give it to God and move forward. That's all you can do. That's all any of us can do. You know, we don't allow ourselves to be conformed to the world, nor do we allow ourselves to be conformed to what the latest religion is saying or the latest sect. We just don't. And there are people that, because they have a hard time appropriating the things of God and seeing the promises of God alive in their life, seeing themselves really make known the gospel by a demonstration of power, and because they seem to hit and miss, and they think that they're missing something, they just stick their nose up in the air and wait for something that comes along that smells decent, and they chase it. And then before you know it, they're involved in a banquet of junk food instead of the banquet table that God has set for us. Hmm. And it's all done under the guise of loving the Lord. And yet, it's not quite there. God keeps things simple. We can continue to keep things simple. We're not missing anything here. You know, I mean, Jesus Christ laid it out pretty simple. You know, when his disciples came to him and said, "Hey, Lord, how come we couldn't cast out those spirits from that guy?" Well, simple. Because of your unbelief. Bring them to me. I'll show you what believing is all about. And he didn't go into a long prayer. Sometimes Jesus Christ could heal just by looking at an individual. Sometimes even the apostles in after the day of Pentecost, just their shadow passing by, right? The shadow of Peter. He didn't even have to say anything. This is who we are. Our words are powerful when we believe them. Not because we have kept a law, but because we believe. We believe in what God has made us. He has made us sons and daughters of his. He has given us his authority. We can speak with the authority that Jesus Christ spoke with. We can teach with the authority that Jesus Christ taught with. We can preach. We can heal the same way that he did it. And it's not about the law. You know, it's about walking in the Spirit. You know, Galatians brings that reality back, that it's not about the law. Circumcision, sorry, doesn't mean anything. If you put your confidence in circumcision, it's just part of the law. And if you put your trust in that, then you're a debtor to do the whole thing if that's what you're thinking. But God has set us free from that. God has placed us on a plane that is so high, so much higher than the walk of the law, of maintaining the law. He's brought us into this liberty, this freedom, to be who we are in the flesh and yet walk in the Spirit. Conduct ourselves by way of that new creation that we are in Christ. And all those things that we are in Christ are all brand spanking new. And they're all new because of what God has done, not because what we have done. This is how we focus. And so when we go out in the world, who are we? We're ambassadors for Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies with them. We're just coming down for a visit. See how things are going. See if we can help. And sure, we all throw our hands up in the air sometimes at how stupid people can be. And yeah, their unbelief gets to us sometimes. But then we come back into our residence, which is that presence of God. And we say, okay, Father, you got to help me with this. You got to show me how to navigate through this situation. And he does. It says, you know, this great chapter of Galatians chapter 5, he says, he emphasizes it. This I say then, right? There's a reality in our lives. We have an old nature and we have a new nature. The new nature is that Spirit, that Holy Spirit dwelling within us. It's what makes it all new for us. It's what brings us to the place of walking on water when we need to. And he says, so verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Conduct your life in regards to that Spirit that dwells in you. And you will not fulfill the desires of your old nature, the flesh. You just won't. Because you're not like multiple personalities. You're just like either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Now, your flesh may have a lot of different personalities, but your Spirit is one. It's that Christ in you. It's that perfection of God within you. So he encourages, just walk in that. Walk in that Spirit. And that is like in the Greek, the construction is, Spirit is the locative of sphere. That's the technical thing. The locative of sphere, right? So what that means is you draw a circle. You draw a circle and you put a dot right in the middle of the circle, right? Now, some people will say, okay, so I'm the circle and the Spirit's the dot right in me. Well, no, it's the opposite. When we're in the Spirit, we're the dot. And the Spirit is that which we are totally in the center of that sphere. That's how we conduct our lives. That we are immersed in that right in the middle of. And so it becomes all that we are. All that we are. That locative of sphere. We walk in the sphere of that Spirit. And I guess if you would make it three-dimensional, it would be a sphere. A ball. A round, you know, encompassed thing. So we are in that, totally in the center of that sphere. For verse 17, right, the flesh lusts against the Spirit. It desires, it pits itself against those things which the Spirit desires, and vice versa. You know, they're entrenched in a battle, you know, between the old nature and the new. And how do we win? How does the new nature win? Well, just by our conscious decision to reside in that sphere. And, you know, we've read these things many, many times, but this is great encouragement. They're contrary one to the other. You cannot do the things that you would. It reminds you of that, you know, that which Paul said, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I wind up doing. I'm just, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. Who's going to deliver me from this? Well, God has already delivered us from this. We have the freedom to walk in it if we desire. But it's what if we don't believe it, then we won't walk in it. If we do what the world does or what, you know, the religion does, then we'll never get to this place. We'll constantly forget that our prayers are heard. We'll constantly forget that all I need do is speak to it and it will be done. Sometimes we forget how simple that really is. But God wants us to keep it simple. But the real battle comes between that old nature and that new nature, the flesh and the spirit, right? But there is, when we dwell in that sphere of the spirit, when we dwell in that, there is fruit produced in us. Fruit is produced in us, right? Verse 22, the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There are no laws against these things. There are only laws against the works of the flesh. That stuff which the flesh produces, God had to say before spirit was available, okay, you're not supposed to do that. Okay? There's a law against that. There's a law against not worshiping me. Because the flesh doesn't want to. Right? The flesh wants to be its own God. Right? And God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's number one. Right? I know your flesh wants to, but, you know, don't you think God was considering not just, you know, and there, you know, all of Israel was probably thinking, I have no other gods. Oh my gosh. This is why they couldn't figure it out, right? They couldn't do it. They couldn't accomplish fulfilling the law. They would look at it and they'd bullet each one of them and they'd say, yeah, I've done it. 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 Yeah. All right. I'm doing good here. I don't have any other gods in my house. I don't have the God of Riphram and Flip Flam. I don't worship any of them gods. I don't have a goat god.
A monkey
god, an elephant god. I don't have any snake gods in my house. Ah, but then lo and behold, there comes the adversary and he says, hey, why don't you just worship yourself? Oops, sorry, missed it. Didn't catch that one. Didn't quite get that. So man can never fulfill the law, but God has brought us to this place where we no longer have to. Because the new nature doesn't require any laws. That fruit, that new nature within us, that spirit within us, as we dwell in that sphere, produces nothing that is against the law. It produces only those things which are virtuous, righteous, just, and true. And powerful. Powerful. So, and then it says in verse 25, so if we live in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, and it's not an if, it's in view of the fact that we live in this Spirit, that we conduct ourselves in the Spirit. Let's conduct ourselves in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit due to the fact that that's where our life is. We were crucified with Christ. We were buried with him. And we were raised to newness of life. Newness of life. And so we have this new life available to us. We just conduct ourselves there. We live there. It's a very simple thing to do. It really is. It's not difficult. It's just a matter of reminding ourselves. What's important to God is not what we do with our flesh. What's important to God is what we do with our heart. And when we come to God with our whole heart, and we don't run away from him and try and hide, right, or cover ourselves up, we have all of this liberty at our disposal. We have all of this freedom to live life blessed as his children and to see the great power that he has entrusted to us. But we persist. We persist until we get it. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. What is the prize of the high calling? It's our inheritance. It's our sonship. It's everything that we are in Christ. I just want to grab hold of that. I want to be who God has said I can be and has enabled me to be in the new nature, not in the old. I want to reckon my old man dead. He's dead. He's in the grave. He's buried. The old man did not get up from the dead. The new man did. That's who we are. That's where we hold our focus in life. Every minute of every day, we recognize that we are constantly always in God's sight. We are constantly always being watched over by him. He is always with us. We are constantly in his presence. And he is constantly working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And his good pleasure is to prove himself, by way of you and me. Because we are now those Christs in this world. We are now those lights. We are now those that dispel darkness. We are now those that raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick. We're the ones that do that. If we desire, if we choose to believe that that's what God's called us to, if we want to believe the religions that have erased most all of the church epistle truths, one other thing, you know, they've erased so much. You know, I know that sometimes I feel as though maybe I'm just being too picky, but I don't think so. You know, it says in chapter 5 in Galatians, right? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Christ has made us free. Did Jesus make you free? If he did, I think that's how God would have written it. God would have told Paul, hey, Jesus made you whole. Jesus made you free. No. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Christ has made you free. You want to get circumcised? Christ will profit you nothing.
Wow.
Verse 4. You want to do the whole law? Christ has become of no effect to you. It's through the Spirit, verse 5 says, that we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That hope that Patty was mentioning from Thessalonians, that our gathering together, our getting out of here. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision. You run well. Who hindered you? It is Christ all the way through here. It is Jesus Christ all the way through. Bear you one another's burdens, verse chapter 6, verse 2 says, and so fulfill the law of who? Christ. It's all through. It's all through. Chapter 4. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Christ takes form in you. Not Jesus. I'm sorry. The emphasis is always on Jesus Christ, the Lord. And what we have in us is Christ in us. It's Christ in us. It's not the man. It's Christ in us. They want to wash it all out. We don't want to wash it out. We're not like those who water down the wine. We don't water down the truth. We want to be who God's called us to be. Don't we? I know you do. I know you do. That's why we're still all, we still all gather together and encourage one another, because we know it's a fight. It's a fight out there, even among those who do love God. The adversary is still fighting to keep them from believing all that God has made them through Jesus Christ, through the grace that we have in Christ. They want to pile up laws. They want to get the attention off what's really the focus in the scripture. And that's why the scripture is so important to us, because it brings us back. It guides our path. You know, do we need it? Do we need a knowledge of it? Not everybody does, but a leader certainly does. Because if the gift ministries are there to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, how will they know what the work of the ministry is unless they read from that which was the beginning of this administration? So, you know, we constantly endeavor to build our faith in these great things that God has provided for us. And I know that there's a lot going on out there in the world that's crazy, but there's a lot going on in Christendom that's just as crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the encouragement of God for each of us is to keep it simple. You have all that you need to represent the heavenlies from which you have come. You have everything you need. You have Christ in you. You have that power of Holy Spirit within you. And as you walk in that, as you stay put within that sphere, you will see yourself be loving, patient, gentle, good, kind. You'll be whatever you need to be to bring deliverance to those that you come in contact with. You know, that's what we encourage one another with. Are we always there? No, none of us are. But that's what we're focused on. That's our target. Right? That's the bullseye that we're shooting for, to be those men and women that God has called us to be and needs us to be. And when our desire is there, then God fulfills that desire. So that's what's on my heart. So love you guys. You're the best. You're the absolute best. No better. There is no better than each of you, because you're God's chosen ones. You're the ones that God has said, I want that person to be my son, my daughter. I want that person to speak for me. So Father, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for how you have called us out from the darkness of this crazy world and placed us by your side, by your right side, so that we could have a relationship with you that is free and open, that we have no more apprehension when we come before you, that we know that we are who you have made us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Mm. And that we have all these things by your grace, because you just favor us because of our heart towards you, that we believe all that you have spoken regarding that Christ. Father, thank you for continuing to open the eyes of our understanding, continuing to bring us into situations that we can demonstrate your power, that we can continue to see all the signs, miracles, and wonders that you have said will follow each of us. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you for continuing to uplift us and provide the things that we need day by day. Thank you most of all, Father, for empowering each of our lives Thank you, Father, that we can remember at all times that we are your sons, that we are your chosen, that we are the ones that you had your eyes on before the foundations of the world, that you could bring us to you and bring us into this life that is certainly more than abundant. So, Father, thank you for these things, and thank you for that power that dwells within us. In the name of Jesus Christ.